world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to everybody out there in the Central Valley. I am your host, Paul Mitters, here at First String Sports Live. You guys haven't noticed, perhaps you're driving around, got the station on 1430, you're like, hey, why is Paul on so early? Well, early edition, first time we've ever started at 9 a.m., still 2 hours of pure high school talk. We'll be wrapping it up around 11 o'clock, but the reason why is because at 11 o'clock, Jose Gonzalez is going to be bringing Central Valley Christian, not Fowler, high school baseball. We are your high school sports leader here at 1430 ESPN, and we've really ramped up the baseball games, bringing them to you on the station the last month or so. And so, yeah, after you're done listening to my show, stay on the station for sure and listen to Central Valley Christian at Fowler. Fowler's got a really good baseball team this year, nice facility. So we look forward to that. Again, thank you guys for tuning in. For the next 2 hours, pure high school talk. And this edition of the show is very student-athlete heavy. Excited about the guests that I have on today. Also want to give a shout-out to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Today is going to be a high of 69 degrees. Right now it's 56 degrees. And strange weather is afoot here in the Central Valley next week. I know it's going to hit, 96 degrees a week from Monday. At least that's what the people on my Apple phone are telling me right now. But, yeah, strange weather here in the Central Valley. Enjoy it because it's going to heat up really, really quick. And then when the dog days of summer happen, we're going to be wishing it is, low 70s for sure. But, yeah, thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the show. And thanks to First String Sports. I'm here live where I do my show every week on Blackstone Avenue. Come down here, open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5. So thanks to First String Sports for being incredible sponsors. All right, so who is on the show today? I mentioned that it is student-athlete heavy. Well, after the break, I do have a coach coming on, and it's Clovis West girls basketball coach Craig Campbell. And the reason why he's coming on is because I know a little bit late to the party on this, but, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Milwaukee Bucks star player, they got bounced in the NBA playoffs, and he was asked if the season was a failure, and he gave a phenomenal response and about what constitutes a failure in the season or a failure in a performance. Basically, he was talking about failure in the sense of an entire season. And he gave a great, great answer, put a lot of things into perspective, and got a lot of buzz. And so Coach Craig Campbell has a great perspective on all that. Obviously, he's had tons of success as a number one national ranking with his girls' teams, perennial state powers. But, you know, what happens when the season doesn't turn out exactly like you had hoped? So Craig is coming on the show after the break. We're going to be discussing that. All right, so the bottom of hour number one, so around 9:35 or so, I have a couple female star track and field athletes from Clovis North, Peyton Bitter and Loie Madsen. They both have pretty popular dads and brothers, too. We're going to get into that a little bit. Marty Bitter, dad of Peyton, and Josh Madsen, dad of Loie Madsen. They're throwers, and they're having incredible seasons. And Clovis North has a great program. They've won tons of track titles and central section titles. I know Buchanan, is up there, and they've won some state titles as well. But these girls are full of life, full of energy, scholar athletes. They're just a pure package. So they're coming in to First String Sports at the bottom of hour number one. At the top of hour number two, superstar baseball player Joey Voltschko from Wedgwood. Perhaps this is your first time hearing his name, but, man, this, in my opinion, he's the best player in the central section. He's throwing 95 miles an hour. He is projected to be a pretty high draft pick in this year's MLB draft. He's hitting bombs as well. He's 6'4", well put together, committed to Stanford. We'll see how that goes. But he's coming on the show via phone call. How about the game that he had Thursday? I don't know if you guys saw this on Twitter. Pitched against Mount Whitney, pitched 5 innings, 14 strikeouts. So all but one guy. And the one guy that put the ball in play was a little dribbler back to the pitcher where he just tagged the guy out. So that was the only contact as far as putting the ball in play in the game on Thursday against Matt Whitney. So this guy is an absolute stud. Red was going to be super dangerous in the playoffs. So going to be getting to know Joey Volchko at the top of hour number two. Bottom of hour number two. Hey, I'm sure you guys have heard about this dude. Clovis West baseball star, another star, Caden Munster. Signed with Fresno State. He was one game away, I guess we could phrase it that way, one game away from breaking a state record by homering in six straight games. So he didn't homer last night against Clovis High, but for five straight games, he had to hit a home run, six total, hit two in one game. The guy that he would have tied a record, Chase Utley, perhaps you've heard of that guy, Major League Baseball player, World Series champion. So Caden's coming on the show at bottom of hour number two. This guy, talk about full of personality and life, man. I can't wait for you guys to get to know Caden a little bit more. A few notes around the Central Valley. Clovis North softball. You know, I had Ryan Maddox, Kiara Sipe on the show a few weeks ago. Ryan Maddox is a star pitcher. Well, those girls keep on winning. 23-0-1, number one in the state, according to SB Live, Cal High Sports. Defeated Clovis yesterday. I was a little surprised by this score, 13-0. And I looked at the box scores, 3-0 going into the top of the sixth, and Clovis North exploded for 10 runs, hence the 13-0 game. But what an incredible season the Clovis North softball girls are having. So congrats to them. They absolutely keep on rolling. I was able to go to the Buchanan baseball game last night, and they wrapped up their track title, outright track title. They beat Clovis North 12-0. They ended up 12-3 in league. Trent Hill, who's really emerged as a really good pitcher for the Bears, threw a complete game two-hitter, no walks. J.P. Acosta went 3-for-4, homer, 6 RBIs. Trent Hill, hey, actually had a perfect game headed into the sixth inning, 15 up, 15 down. I think with one out, there's a line drive to right field, and then there's another hit in the seventh. But congrats to Buchanan. You know, they graduated a lot last year, and last year they got bounced early in the playoffs, but the young guys have stepped up. They're playing really good baseball. When the seedings come out next Saturday, well, they actually got jumped. They got jumped in the seeding, so it looks like they might be a 3 seed. They might jump back up to the 2 seed where they were for a long time. Stockdale is the 2 seed. The 1 seed is Bullard. They're rolling. They're undefeated in CMAC play. Defeated Edison yesterday, 8-3. Sam Reynolds got another victory. But yeah, it looks like Bullard is well on their way to the number 1 seed in the baseball playoffs. So I want to mention too, sticking with the South Valley, talking about Volchko from Redwood. There is a junior UCLA commit pitcher for Tulare Western, Justin Cuellar, and he broke the all-time school K record, which was held by current Fresno State Bulldog Jack Anker. Man, those guys are going to be tough in the playoffs. We talk a lot about arms, how if you got a couple arms, you are going to go far in the playoffs. Well, there's definitely one for Tulare Western. It looks like they might be around a 6 or 7 seed in D1. So whoever they're matchups with, and Justin's going to be on the mound, that's going to be a very, very tough ball game. I want to mention couple more things, a couple football news and notes around the Central Valley. One is Adrian Martinez. Talked about him a few times on the show. He's actually on my show about a year ago. We know his story. Clovis West, 4 years in Nebraska, set all kinds of records, passing records, yardage records. Well, he transferred to Kansas State his senior year, got injured again, but had some incredible, incredible moments, including that great game on national TV on Fox News. Oklahoma had that incredible game against Oklahoma. Well, he was not drafted in the NFL draft last week, but he was picked up really, really quick by the Detroit Lions. I think that's a great pickup. Now, obviously, when you're undrafted, you're not guaranteed to make the roster. But if he can make the practice squad, first of all, you're going to make pretty good money on the practice squad. I know that for sure. But, hey, he's an athlete. And that's what all the scouting reports said. Put him in for some packages. He's a threat running the football, as we all know. So congrats to Adrian. He was actually in Fresno last week. Was able to hang around the campus and help out with some youngsters. So You know, we always root for our guys at the next level, and Adrian is definitely one of those guys that we root for. Andrew Vohr, he's Kingsburg grad, USC. He was drafted in the seventh round by the Baltimore Ravens. What's significant about that is because dude has a torn ACL. He tore his ACL actually at the combine, and he went out and did those bench press reps. Super, super impressive. So, you know, we root for Andrew as well. He's had a couple surgeries, but, man, that dude is an absolute gamer. Andrew Vohr, he's drafted in seventh round to the Baltimore Ravens. And one more news and note before we hit the break and bring on Coach Craig Campbell, Clovis West. San Joaquin Memorial posted on their social media pages that they have a new quarterback coming in. Jalen, quote, Showtime Henderson, class of 2025, so he's going to be here for 2 years. He's from Los Angeles, passed for almost 2,000 yards last year and almost 1,000 yards, 35 total TDs. I saw his huddle highlights last night, and the dude can scoot. The dude is impressive. And speaking of Adrian Martinez, he reminded me of Adrian, how he just turns on the jet streams. In the open field, nobody's going to be able to tackle him. Nobody. I can guarantee that. The dude was impressive. So San Joaquin Memorial has a new quarterback next year. They announced on their social media page, Jalen Showtime Anderson. So, hey, it's never too early to talk about football. So a few news and notes here on the Central Valley Sports Report. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Clovis West girls basketball coach Craig Campbell. He's on the road right now. He's going to be kind enough to join us here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour, every weekday at 2 p.m. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Meaders. You can follow me on the Twitter machine at Paul Meaders, PaulMeadors. In the opener, I talked about, you know, Giannis and how he was asked when his Milwaukee Bucks were bounced by the 8-seed Miami Heat about failure. A reporter, right? Sometimes you got to be smart with your questions. I've learned that lesson a few times. He asked him, you know, was this season considered a failure? You guys lost. You're the number one seed. And he had a remarkable response that got a lot of buzz about the difference between failure, disappointment, success, like who defines it? How does a season, you know, how is a season being defined at the end? Did you accomplish your goals? All those things came up in discussion. And, you know, I thought there's no better person that I would rather talk to this about than Clovis West girls basketball coach Craig Campbell. You know, his accolades, 11 straight Central Section titles, national number one ranking 2017 with the CIF state ranking. So we've had tons of discussions about this. And so kind enough to join us right now. Coach Campbell, you're on the road right now, right?
I am on the road. How you doing, Paul? Good morning.
I'm doing great. Where are you headed?
I'm heading down to Thousand Oaks. Our Nike Cal Stars team is playing down there, so I'm racing down there to join the squad on the bench here. We tip off in about 4 hours, so I'll get there about an hour early, grab a bite, and lace them up.
All right, are you past the grapevine yet?
I'm not, so we're good on the connection.
Good. Yeah, that was my worry. Okay, so I want to ask you really quick before we get into this. You know, Athena Thomason just announced, I believe it was yesterday, that she's committed to Boston College. So your point guard, she has, you know, a year left with you and your program. What type of player are they getting, and how cool is that?
You know, I'm excited for her. She's, you know, obviously a dynamic player, tremendous student athlete. You know, she'll probably graduate with about a 4.4 GPA. And, you know, the one knock on her is she's undersized. And, you know, there, so many of these college coaches get caught up in what they want, you know, on the eye test to look like. But they pass up on winners and players and shooters and just kids of character. And so, you know, she has had about eight to ten offers and always wanted to play in the ACC or SEC. And Boston College came in with a coach that herself was a smaller guard and successful and has had success with smaller guards and doesn't get caught up trying to jam a round peg in a square hole. And so she's loved Athena. Athena loves that area and went back and, you know, she goes, what should I look for? And I said, you'll know. You've been on so many visits, it'll feel like home. And, you know, she texted me while she was back there this past week and said, Coach, I think I found my home. So I'm really, really happy and excited for her, not only for her opportunities for the next 4 years, but just also the pressure of this day and age and you know, the transfer portal, taking scholarships, all the different things, to know that her education's paid for at a great spot, and she can just focus on improving this summer and having a great senior year.
Yeah, we're looking forward to watching her one more season. She's a great basketball player for sure, and a basketball junkie. I'm going to read, Coach, here the quote from Giannis when he was asked, "What was this season a failure?" And I want to know your response to this. So Giannis said, "There are no failure. There is no failure in sports. There's good days, bad days. Some days you are able to be successful. Some days you're not. Some days it's your turn. Some days it's not your turn. That's what sports is about. You don't always win, so other people are going to win. Simple as that. We're going to come back next year, try to be better, try to build good habits, try to play better. Not having 10 days straight of playing bad basketball can win a championship. So 50 years from 1970 to 2022 that we didn't win a championship, was it 50 years of failure? No, it was not. There were steps to it. We were able to win one. Hopefully we're able to win another one." When you first heard that, what was your reaction? I mean, first of all, for me, that was a phenomenal reaction. I was at the top of his head, and he put a lot of thought into that. That was one of my initial reactions. But what was your reaction to what Giannis said?
You know, I agree. One of my first things was, you know, covering me for 8 to 10 years, I'm going to always speak my mind and be honest with you. And I loved how raw and articulate he was. It was genuine and it was heartfelt. And it wasn't. He could have brushed it off. He could have been angry. So to open up and share his genuine thoughts and enlighten some people, I thought it was a very, very thorough and well-done response.
You could tell that he was going through his mind almost like a Rolodex, like, where should I go with this? And he said, you know, you asked me that last year, right, when they got bounced in the playoffs. So this is probably something that he's thought about. You know, what does constitute failure in a season, right? These NBA players, and especially Giannis, but knowing his background and where he came from, I think that plays a huge part in it because, you know, he was an immigrant, and he had to sell things on the street with his brothers. They had to get by. So I think the sense of entitlement, right, he doesn't have it. He works hard. He gets after it. So how can you define him working hard and trying his best as being a failure? It's kind of out of his realm of of possibilities for his the outcomes for how hard he works, how hard he works, and where he's come from. So I think that plays a big part in how he responded. But I want to ask you too, Coach, what do you think? What's the difference between failure and disappointment? Is there a fine line? I mean, failure is such a heavy word, right? Disappointment's heavy as well. But man, failure means it's just a flat out fall on your face kind of thing. But, you know, disappointment is something that happens at maybe you work really hard in a game, you know, during a season, and you come up short on a championship when people expect you to win. That could be a disappointment, but is it really a failure?
Yeah, no, I think it's, like you said, you know, at that level, it's different than high school athletics. But I think it's also, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks, similar to the Nuggets this year, they haven't done it on going out and recruiting super teams and buying their way to a championship. And so, you know, I think things like that tend to have more of the failure attribute to them when it implodes versus building something the right way and developing players and developing your roles and people growing their game and then falling short. I mean, that's what sports is. You know, we were 30-2 this year. We lost our last game. We didn't win state. So did we fail? Heck, we had a hell of a year. We finished top 25 in the country out of 35,000 high schools. I've been on both ends of it. I remember I had a team in Reno. We were the number one ranked team in the state. And if we'd played state tournament in December, we probably would have won it all. And all we thought, we were sure we were going to state championship game and had a very good chance to win it. And we lost in the quarterfinals. Perfect storm of just everything that could go wrong did. And we lost. And I was a young coach at the time, and I remember just that empty punch in the stomach feeling of, what in the heck? And you hinged. We missed so many things that year that we should have celebrated because our whole thing was win state, win state, win state. And it really shifted my thinking as a very young coach that, you know, you've got to enjoy the journey, and only one team hoists a trophy at the end. So disappointment, there's definitely different levels of disappointment. If you're a really talented veteran team and you fall short or fall early like the Bucks did, the disappointment is heavier. You know, failure, I think one great example of failure is, you know, my North Carolina Tar Heels men's team this year. And failure not because they didn't win a national championship, but failure because they were in the title game last year, returned all them, everybody came back but one guy, four starters back, number one preseason in the country, and didn't even make March Madness. So that's the type of collapse that I think you could attribute the word failure to. But falling short, man, there's so many things to celebrate throughout the season, and that's why sports is so beautiful.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Coach, with the journey part. And you know, I remember before your 2017 state championship game against Archbishop Mitty there at in Sacramento, and we had some great conversations. And you went on record and you said, "Hey, win or lose, I am so proud of this team. We are here. It's about the journey. Of course, we want to win." And I think you know you have that perspective on that. And hey, and you ended up winning, so you that was a cherry on top for that season. But the expectations, you said that word with talking about North Carolina men's basketball. Expectations can loom large, and I've seen that everywhere covering high school sports here in the Central Valley. You know, what advice would you give a parent who has high expectations for their kids in sports, and it's, you know, maybe it's not working out like they had hoped? You know, we just praise Athena Tomlinson for getting that D1 scholarship, but it's hard, man. Those do not come around very often, but, you know, parents can have high expectations, you know, so what advice would you give parents out there for that?
You know, it's funny because it's a really, really good question. You know, I was thinking about it. So if you have $20,000 set aside that your retirement, you want to invest and you want to turn that into something for your kids' college fund or just you and your wife's retirement, you know, you want to turn that into, say, $100,000, $150,000, which is what the minimum of what a full ride scholarship is. Are you going to hand that $20,000 next to the guy drinking a beer at the sports bar that tells you he's got a lock bet? Or are you going to, you know, give it to the guy in the stands that says 20 years ago, I made money on such and such, and you're like, okay, well, what have you invested in lately? Well, nothing. But 20 years ago, if you just trust me with your money, are you going to go those routes? Or are you going to go and find a proven, successful investor that's going to take care and turn that money into something solid and have a very low risk, low gamble investment? And I think first and foremost, you know, for your question is, who's mentoring you and your child on this journey? There's unfortunately, you know, the old adage of, don't drink the Kool-Aid. There's a lot of Kool-Aid stands in every corner in this basketball world these days. And there's a lot of bad information. There's a lot of people making a lot of money on kids and parents drinking the Kool-Aid. And I really wish there was some way to hold these people accountable that are misleading, sometimes straight up lying to parents about who's calling, who's not, what the path is, what the journey is, because so many parents and kids are misled and don't do their research and find that proven coach or mentor or trainer or whoever it may be, club, to be in the right place and put your daughter or son on the right platform. You know, the second thing is it the parent's desire or is it the child's? Because it is a lot of work, and you don't get there by liking the game. You can't have love the game, like the game effort, and want love the game rewards. It is a job at the next level. It's an amazing experience, but nobody's going to hand you $150,000 to $300,000 scholarship for being pretty good. And so, you know, what is your son or daughter doing? How much time are they really putting into their game? Are they just doing the minimum and going to practice? Or are they doing the, you know, 5 days a week on their own extra workouts, getting up at 6 a.m. or going down to the gym at 9 p.m. to get shots up? There's a lot that falls on what the student athlete's putting into it too, but no amount of work ethic without the proper tutelage and mentorship and guidance and development is going to get you there.
Yeah, I mean, lots of things to think about, and, you know, how we define success and failures and all that is, I mean, that's a journey in amongst itself, Coach, and I really appreciate your thoughts, and as always fun to connect with you, so good luck on your road trip.
Thank you. No, we're looking forward to it. I got our girls down there ready to rock and roll, so, and then we'll, next weekend we'll be back with our Chaos Kids, so.
All right, Coach. Yeah. Again, congrats on all your success so far, and have a good rest of the weekend, my friend.
Sounds good. Thanks, buddy. Take care.
All right, you bet. All right, coming up after the break, Peyton Bitter, Loey Mattson, Clovis North Track and Field here on 1430 ESPN.
Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live at First String Sports. Early edition today, 9 to 11. So I had to get up a little early. I usually rely on that extra hour of sleep that I get on Saturdays. But alas, here I am bringing you the good stuff that's happening in the Central Valley. I just had a good conversation with Coach Craig Campbell, girls basketball coach at Clovis West, about what defines success, failure, disappointment. I mean, that's a topic that we could talk a lot about. And, you know, as you go from high school sports to college sports and then to pros, obviously pros the highest level, and it's more of a business. So, you know, what defines all that? But, you know, high school is it's a pretty precious and special time. You know, I remember my high school times very, very well, and my coaching times as well after I graduated from Fresno Pacific College. But, you know, high school sports, it's, you know, times in high school is very, very special. And I got a couple special student athletes right now. Peyton Bitter and Loey Mattson, Clovis North Track and Field, discus and shot put. Peyton, you also play volleyball, right? Yeah. Doing a little club volleyball,
yep.
Right? Loey, track champion in both throws. Did that just happen a couple days ago, right?
Yeah, I believe it was
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
You get is this the time of the season where you kind of don't know what day it is? I mean, no, it's Saturday, obviously.
Yeah.
Today we're like, when did that happen?
Yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, I'm there too as well. You guys also have brothers that are putting up great numbers in the throws as well. So no track meet today, right? There's nothing going on, but there's something else going on tonight. So what else you guys have going for the rest of the day?
We got to get ready for prom.
So come on a radio show. Talk about track and field. Talk about sports. And then you got to get ready for prom. All right. So both you guys, you're going to prom, right? So how does prom work these days? You guys meet somewhere. You take your pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a senior daughter as well. So she goes to Bullard. So we've been all through this. But it's like take your pictures, then meet the guys, go out to dinner, and then do whatever. Is that the gig?
Yeah. Yep. Prom for us is at Quail Lakes. No. Wolf Lakes. We're taking pictures at Quail Lakes. Most people are. But, prom is at Wolf Lakes. It's a really nice venue. They serve us dinner, so we don't actually have to go get dinner. So everyone there eats dinner together.
Got it.
And I believe the dance goes till 11, right? 10, 11?
I don't know.
Somewhere super late.
Okay.
Like I said, time is, what is time? Time's the concept for me
exactly.
Right now.
Yeah, you're right. All right, so Peyton, I want to start with you from the beginning. How'd you get started in shot put?
Shot put, I've been doing it since elementary school. I kind of, like most events that I do to this day, I was kind of just thrown in and be like, hey, because I was taller than most people ever in my elementary days. So they're like, oh, this girl's big, let's just throw her in here. So I started with shot, and then I didn't really think I was that good at it until this year, honestly, because this year is when I kind of started like getting into it, actually, because I always thought of myself as a jumper, but since my knee injury, you know, I've kind of had to find a different outlet to find success, and shot put, it's been there for me this year. So
I want to ask, what's the different size of the shot puts and weight, I guess, right? So the weight of a shot put is different than this. So did you started in junior high-ish or not?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you get to high school, is it heavier? Is it bigger?
Yeah, I think the weight for us stays at 4K. And then what is it in junior high? Is it junior high is 8 pounds?
Yeah, junior high I think was either 6 or 8 pounds for us. And then high school now goes up to a 4K.
Okay. And then stays about, throughout 4K throughout the collegiate level too.
Mm-hmm. It's about like 8.8 pounds.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Okay. Loey, what about you? So how'd you get started in the throws? Did you start out as a runner? I know you're a jumper as well. So how did the throwing session start with you?
Well, my older brother did it actually, Keenan, in high school. But he did it more as like a side sport other than football. So when I was, of course, at Granite, at the middle school level, my Granite track coaches saw me and was like, oh, your brother does it. You should try this. Because in throws, like, you don't really take it seriously in elementary school, right? Everyone wants to be the fastest 100-meter sprinter. Like, that's just what it is. But so I got into throws because I was like, oh, Keenan does this. It looks fun. It looks really interesting because you can do discus in seventh grade, but you can't do discus like you can in shot in elementary school.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So I started off with discus, and me and Pate kind of battled it out, you know, all the time. Like, we've always been each other's best friends when it comes to sports and everything. We've always been on the same teams for everything, so it's been really fun. But she was kind of always better at shot, and I was always kind of better at disc, so yeah. It kind of just worked out that way. And yeah, look at us now. It's kind of how still how it is. But
all right, so remind me and tell everybody out there. So, Loie, your best is discus, right? Mm-hmm. So explain to me the difference, though, between throwing the shot put and then throwing the discus. What are the main differences?
Well, you spin in both, so it's kind of similar.
Yeah, I spin in both. I do rotational shot. She glides in shot. I glided last year, but Brazil switched me over to rotational this year. He thought I'd be better at it because I'm better at disc. So okay. Rotational, just kind of incorporate it. But discus, it's more – shoot. I feel like it's more of a graceful thing, which for me, I did dance for how many years? Like 14 years, but like ballet. So like it was easy for me to incorporate my dancer and the balance that I had into discus compared to shot, which is more like rough, tough, buff, like throw it really far as you can. But for discus, there was like a beat to it that I could feel. Like also like being a musician and stuff myself, like I just, there's like a rhythm that I can feel and a rhythm that I get into. And that's what really helps me throw far, is knowing that like, if I can keep that rhythm, I can throw like that far. And then if I can just speed up my rhythm or get stronger in my rhythm, I can throw even further and just progress.
Well, I feel too, in my fairly limited, knowledge of the throws, like the follow through. The follow through seems a little more graceful. You mentioned, you mm-hmm. said that word with discus, right? Mm-hmm. Rotate, 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 throw, follow through. Where shot put is more strength, right? Get it to there and just kind of grunt more. I don't know. It's like, help me out. I don't know. Help me out. Help me out with that. Like, what's the thought process with those, Peyton? Do you know? Like,
that is totally what it looks like from the outside.
I mean, yeah, I know. Well, thank you.
No, yeah, it is. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Discus is definitely more graceful because. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though, because we always get pictures at the end of our meets, right? And Loie literally always hates it. Because you could tell during our pictures, they're awful. Like, you never thought, oh, like, yeah. You're like, oh, I look fine.
I look like
no,
that.
It's really bad. So you know what you look like. Yeah. As graceful as it seems, it never looks graceful.
Yeah, definitely.
Are there any stories of throwing that, you know, where you maybe you... Maybe when you started, like you almost hit somebody or it went this direction, you're like, what am I doing
yesterday.
Right now? Oh, yesterday?
What? So yesterday, it was a day of practice that, you know, like it was the end of the week and less meets, you know, the long meets are super, like, the big meets are super long. So you like the next day, you're just like, oh, I don't want to practice. You know, it's just that kind of day. Yeah. Like you're just like out of it and you're tired. So my first throw in discus, I think it was a stand throw.
It went on to the apron of the track.
Yeah, so basically I asked my sprints coach the night before. I was like, hey, can I come do an early morning workout? Right? And he goes, no, like I'm sleeping in. I was like, that's fine. So my first throw, he's standing out on the side of the track, and I hucked it, and I held on to it too long. And it went out, yeah. I managed to miss the entire grass, and it landed on the track and close to him. And I was like, he was like, okay, I'll take you out to the morning workout next time, Jesus. And I was like, okay, that was my bad. Like, you just know it's not that good of a day.
Yeah.
Or you sector it so many times into the pole.
Yeah.
Well, Peyton, I know, too, you high jump, right? Mm-hmm. So a little birdie told me how your high jump career got started.
Yeah.
Elementary. So is it true a coach came up to you and said, hey, we need some points, right? Can you do a high jump? And what happened?
Yeah, so basically it was Josh Alfaro, and he was like, hey, we don't have any jumpers. Like, I need you to go over there, run in a J, and make sure you jump off 1 foot. I don't care how you do it, just get over it. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then I loved it from there on because I managed to be a little good at it. And then that was another sport Loie did at the time. So me and her literally battled, like, from elementary school to – like
freshman year,
I think it was before
COVID
you stopped
got
playing.
Cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we played basketball, we played volleyball and we did track together, like, all 3 years. So we were always head-to-head. We played mm-hmm. mostly the same position, same events,
yeah,
like, same everything, you know? So we were both centers in basketball. So it's literally head-to-head all the time. So, yeah, I just got thrown in, and then I fell in love with high jump ever since. So, I mean, but obviously this year it's been quite frustrating, you know? But 3 weeks ago, I switched sides. I stopped jumping off my injured leg, and I came to jump off my right. Obviously, it's not the prettiest right now, but, you know, it's been more successful than jumping off my left. And I don't know. I had high expectations. I always do for myself. So, you know, like, just being not able to reach your potential that you know you could be at, it's degrading. So it's hard at times.
Yeah, but you got good teammates, right?
Absolutely.
I want to ask Loey, talking to Loey Mattson, Peyton Bitter, Clovis North, girls track and field. What's your best throw this year?
My best throw is 147.8, I believe. Yeah.
Where does that rank in state?
I believe that puts me at fifth.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
Fifth. Okay.
I believe so.
All right. So that best throw that you've done, where was it at? What was that feeling like?
That was at Arcadia.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah, it was a really big meet, and it was really, really exciting. I still get, like, chills about it because the second I went in, my coach told me afterwards, he was like, that throw that you threw, you came into the ring with a look on your face. And I kind of didn't know what he was talking about until I watched the video back. And I walked in there, and I looked like one of the most cocky throwers you've ever seen. I walk in there, and I just was in a zone. And I, like, shrugged my shoulders. I have, like, my little, you know, pre-throw routine that I do. And I just – something felt different. As soon as I turned it back, I caught so much speed and so much just, like, energy within me to launch it. And it – I just saw it go, and I was like, dang, that was a far throw. And as soon as I throw it, my coach, Brazil, who was also watching my brother throw and Brayden shot put at the same time, so that's always a balance yeah. between, you know, what happens. But he was just walking over to see my last throw to – my third last throw to go to finals. And he saw exactly where it landed, and he just started screaming. Yeah, and I was like, oh, my gosh, that was so exciting. But, yeah, I will never forget that. It was incredible. And all the throwers, the throwing community is so beautiful. Like, it is so fun. A lot of people think that, you know, we're big and buff and we're mean and scary. But I think that throwers are nicer than most sprinters, actually.
Well, I heard, too, like, we're – other girls encouraging you, like, hey, great throw.
No, yeah,
great throw,
uh-huh. That's what happened.
That's
so I walked out, and every single girl that I was throwing against gave me the biggest hug. They're just so happy for you. When it's your personal best, yeah. It's different, you know? Mm-hmm. Throwing, I mean, it's a competition, yeah, but it's a competition in the sense that, like, you're competing against yourself for your best throw.
Yeah.
And that's just the best part about it.
Yeah, and that's one of the differences between, let's say, track and field and, you know, volleyball, right? Volleyball, you're relying on other girls. And,
absolutely.
Right? So there's a big difference there. So
yeah.
you mentioned brothers, and I want to get into that a little bit. So I know, Peyton, you got a brother, Brayden, and he's a thrower as well. But, you know, what's it like to be out there with your brother and to, you know, maybe peek over and watch him throw a little bit? And what's that relationship like with your brother?
Honestly,
sorry. Those two are some goons. They are. We love them to death. But yeah, you go.
No, yeah. So me and my brother are polar opposites. Okay, so I am just never stop if something's going on. Or like, there's always an argument, right? And I'm all for it. Like, let's go. And Brayden's just like kind of, you know, quiet and sits there, does what he's told to do. He's such nice. So we're very opposite. And then it's honestly very nice to me because he's my best friend. So we get along very well because we balance each other out with the fire and the mellowness. And so when, like, I'm having an off day, he's like, why are you mad? Like, you're fine. So, I mean, he's there. Having him there is very nice for me because he calms me down. He encourages me. He's very supportive. And he's just watching him, how hard he works and how he always wants to strive to be better. Like, it makes me want to do better because, I mean, like, for me, it's like I look up to him in ways because he has a lot of things that I wish I had, including, like, the control, you know, I don't have that full control like he does. So watching him have that, it's like makes me feel like, hey, I can do this too. So it's very encouraging way, you know. So if like he's having a bad day, I'm there for him, and if I'm having a bad day, he's there for me. So it's honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way. I like having my brother like right next to me most of the times.
That's amazing. And he's a year younger, right?
Yes.
So he's a junior. And
yeah.
Loie, you have a brother, McKay, sophomore. Got to bring that dude up.
Yeah.
You know, football guy. You know, started as a freshman as well, and he's a thrower mm-hmm. and doing an incredible job. So what's it like to have younger brother? And I know what.
Right.
Like, people think that you're twins.
No.
A
right.
lot, right?
Yeah.
People think that you guys are twins.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's your younger brother.
I mean,
sophomore. But anyway, so talk about that relationship and how mm-hmm. cool McKay is.
Yeah, well, he is. He's
super
the coolest.
Cool McKay.
Yeah,
coolest.
He,
cool
he,
dude.
He
yeah.
really is the coolest. I love him as a brother. It's honestly amazing. I refer to him as my little brother when people
Good.
Ask
yeah.
me. They're like, are you guys twins? And I'm like, no, he's my little brother. And it's just the irony of it. It's hilarious because little is the exact opposite of what he is.
Both of our brothers.
They are big boys. I posted a couple pictures on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw that. And they are.
They're huge.
They're
yoked.
They're
yeah.
massive.
Oh, they are. They are. Uh-huh. But with him, it's a little bit different in terms of our relationship compared to P and Bray's, because we are both so competitive. And, like, I strive to be the best in the female division, and he strives to be the best in the male division. But we both know that, you know, he throws so much further than me, and it's so humbling knowing that he does. But I just have to know that, like, there's the maximum strength and maximum potential that he has, and there's the maximum potential that I have. And if it's less than him, you know, that's just how it works. But, you know, it comes down to, like, where I'm ranked and what I'm throwing compared to where he's ranked and where he's throwing in both of our separate divisions. But the support we have for each other is insane, you know. He had, you know, kind of an off-track meet a couple weeks ago. At Arcadia, he didn't, you know, do his best, but he still did, you know, pretty good. He still placed, but, you know, I did my best, and he was just the happiest for me, and that's, you know, that's so amazing having that. But there also is that grit that we have to want to be better than one another. We're siblings, so in my family, you know, competition is a number one thing. It's just, like, ingrained in us, nature versus nurture, but that's just what we have. We want to be better than each other, but because we did like strive for that, it just like helps us each other support each other even more. And you know, when we eventually accomplish that,
that's awesome. And I know both your last names hold a lot of weight in the Central Valley. Okay, and your dad is Marty, who's director of athletics in Madera. I know. I'm not gonna go there that much. You know, I mean, he's a great guy. We've had some great conversations. Then I finally met your dad, Josh, mm-hmm. the sidelines of a football game. Played football at Stanford. So you guys got that competitive nature in you, right? I mean, it's part of who you are. It's in
right.
your DNA. Couple things here. Oh, my gosh. Time is flying by. Got a few minutes here. Really quick, Loie. What's the weirdest way someone's mispronounced your name? Has, like, you got substitute teachers? Like,
yeah. No, what? Of course.
E. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, yeah. No, I totally get it. Actually, last year, my name on the sheets for when I competed was my real name, which is Loren.
Okay.
Like with a capital R in the middle. And so I, you know, it's just a family name. I get a bunch of different, called a bunch of different things at every fast food restaurant. When they pronounce my order, it's Chloe, not Loie, okay. or Zoe. I get all of the above, you know? Louie is a really common one.
Oh.
I've heard Loie, which is really interesting,
okay.
like Coy,
yeah.
but like,
yeah.
I didn't know Coy was spelled with an E at the end. It's not, but yeah, it's
But you
silly.
Know, when something but, mm-hmm. close to that is said, maybe at a track meet or a doctor's office or at Starbucks, you know it's you. You
mm-hmm.
just go up and do
yeah.
your thing. You know
yeah.
it's you. All right,
mm-hmm.
I got a couple questions here. I've been doing this for the last few weeks with some of our student athletes. It's like a would you rather game. It's the clean version. So I got about eight questions here. We got a couple minutes here. Loie, I want to start off with you.
Okay.
And you mentioned your dancing, you know, your dancing prowess and
mm-hmm.
singing a little bit. So would you rather be an amazing dancer or an amazing singer?
Oh, that is
You already know what you want to do. You'd be a singer.
That is so hard. Yeah, I danced for like the majority of my life, but I love singing. Like, that's like one of my best talents, actually, right before disc. I leave practice at 5:30 every Monday because I have voice lessons. Like, I honestly love singing. My mom's amazing at it. Her voice is so pure, but singing, I honestly love it. I love both of them, so it's hard, it's difficult, but I mean, they both are musical things, and they have that rhythm for me that I love about discus, so okay, I incorporate both.
Awesome, perfect. Peyton, would you rather have all traffic lights, make all the traffic lights you approach be green, or never have to stand in line again?
Oh my God, traffic lights be green. I can't stand traffic. It makes me so, can you drive? No, okay, so I'll be going somewhere, right? And I'll be on a roll, and I'm like almost there, and then it's like, oh, it's like you thought, red light. Like, really? Like, I'm right there, and you're going to give me a red light. No, I can't do the red lights.
So would you rather have full green lights, or would you rather never have to stand in line?
Honestly, I could deal with standing in a line, because at least I can, like,
check my phone.
Yeah. I'll be with somebody. I could talk to them. I could socialize. But, like, in the car, it's just different, because you, like, I feel like you want to get out as quick as I can, because I feel like being, like, in sports for so long, you're so used to staying in the car forever, so as soon as you can get out of the car, and if you hit all green lights, like, that's, like, that's a perfect day right there.
You feel good about your life.
Like, yeah, you're like, that's a big accomplishment.
You feel like you just, you know, go buy some lottery tickets or something like that. All right, Loie, would you rather read the book or see the movie of anything?
Oh, okay.
Like, read a book or watch the movie?
Okay, this one, if my friends are listening to this, they know that I would much rather watch the movie. I'm not a big reader.
I'm not any high school student.
My older brother, though, he loved to read. I have a lot of friends that love to read. And, like, great for them, you know, great for them. And they're always like, if we watch a movie, they're like, this is so different than the book. And I'm like, I don't need to know that because I probably won't read the book. But watch a movie for me is definitely.
Okay, yeah. 2 hours versus however long it takes to read.
Yeah, it would probably take me a week.
Hours.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We got one more question each. All right. Peyton, would you rather be too cold for the rest of your life or too hot?
Too hot. No.
The cancer.
I get cold. I'm cold more than I'm hot more than half the time. It could be summer and I'll be freezing my butt off in the house. Like, I'm cold all the time. And my brother, like, and my dad have the windows run down constantly. And I try not to bother them because I know they love having the windows down. But I'm sitting in the back like, okay, like, I'm cold, but I don't want to say anything. But I really need the windows to be rolled up. But no, I'd much rather be hot than cold. That's a very, like, probably unliked opinion because most people would like to be cool.
I would say I'm the opposite, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'd much rather be warm.
All right, last one. Loie, would you rather drink water that fish have been swimming in or drink pool water?
Well, I mean, like, when you go to the beach and when you swim in the water, like, don't you do both? You know, when you get, like, swallowed by a wave after body surfing. I'd say.
Is this, like, voluntarily or just, like, if she had a choice?
You have to, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Gross.
Okay. I'd probably say pool water.
Pool water.
Yeah. I mean, like, hopefully it's, like, shocked with chlorine and it doesn't kill me, but better than.
Okay,
you know,
good
fish.
Call. Yeah, we could do that. All right, girls, I knew this would be a fun conversation. Unfortunately, we're out of time here. Peyton Vitter, Chloe Madsen, thank you guys for coming. And good luck to
Loie.
Oh my gosh.
No worries.
I literally just did what you said other people do.
No,
Loie
it's
Madsen.
No worries.
Chloe.
I'm giving myself a demerit on that one. All right, Loie,
thank you guys
for coming on. Lots of
thank
fun.
You.
Good luck the rest of the way. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Redwood baseball star Joey Velchko on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to the San Francisco Giants on locally owned 1430 ESPN. In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and welcome to hour number two. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, here live at First String Sports. Had a really cool conversation, and I knew I was going to do it. I said, Chloe Madsen. Of course, it's Loie Madsen. We literally talked about the mispronunciations of her name. And Peyton Vitter, great student athletes. I mentioned at the top of the show that this is a student athlete heavy show. I've never had three different sets of student athletes on the show. I usually have just one, and we talk to coaches and different media members around. But I was just feeling it this week, and we got a good one on the line next. Joey Velchko, Redwood standout senior pitcher and hitter, committed to Stanford, but there's a chance that he's going to be taken high in the MLB draft. He's recently named to Baseball America's list of 13 risers. in the top of the draft. Been clocked at 95 miles an hour this season. His Rangers are 20-5, 14-0 in league. And Joey, thanks for joining us today, calling all the way from Visalia. Really appreciate it. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good, doing great. So Saturday, so you didn't have a game on Friday, so you were able to play Mount Whitney on Thursday. What are normally your Saturday? What are your Saturdays like? During the season, especially when you don't have a game on a Friday. What are your Saturdays normally like?
Saturdays for me are mostly just I throw pins on the weekend on Saturday, and just get lifts in. Honestly, it's pretty simple.
Are you a big breakfast guy? Do you got to make sure you load up in the morning?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't like to do anything too complex. I'm normally like a muffin and a protein milk type guy. That's more my go-to on the weekends, especially when I have a pen.
Yeah, good call. So I want to talk about that Golden West game, the most recent game. Was it Mount Whitney, right? You play Mount Whitney on Thursday?
Golden West on Thursday.
It was a Golden West. Okay. So you pitched 5 innings. Struck out 14, and you also hit a home run in that one. So, I mean, is that just like almost a perfect game for you? Like, what? I mean, how were you feeling during and after that game?
Yeah, I felt pretty good. I felt like the command was there for sure for me. I mean, a few things I like to clean up, like a couple walks and whatnot, but I mean, I can't really complain with the stat line, and I'm definitely happy with it.
Going into this season, I'm sure you had high expectations for yourself and for your team, but what were some of your personal goals and what were the team goals coming into the season?
Yeah, I mean, personally, it was pretty simple. It was just to have a last good season with the guys I grew up playing with. I mean, I've never been a big stats guy, and I think just having a last good season was like at the top of my priorities list for sure.
So who are some of the guys that you've played with for a long time growing up? Because I know – you know, in Visalia, there's been some really, really good youth teams that have gone on and played in tournaments around the United States. But who are some of the guys that you've played with growing up and who are on your Redwood baseball team right now?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up playing with our left fielder, Evan Gonzalez, Joey and Bo Rico, the seniors on our team. I mean, I've been throwing to Bo for 2 years now. We've been playing together for long before that. Yeah, I mean, some of the guys on the pitching staff, like Noah Felix and Chico Mendez, I mean, they've all been kind of with me throughout the entire journey from Cal Ripken to high school. So it's been awesome to play with them.
So have you been Visalia area through and through? Were you born and raised in the South Valley?
Yes, I was born in Torrance, California, and I moved here when I was 6 months old. So I've been here since then.
So what junior high and what elementary schools did you go to down there?
I went to Ridgeview Middle School. It just got built a couple of years before I got there. And then for elementary school, I went to Hurley.
And what Little League-type programs do you have? You mentioned Cal Ripken. I mean, is it still called Little League, or what were some of the programs that you played in growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I played Cal Ripken from the time I was 3 until 12. So, I mean, that was like the every-year thing for me. Cal Ripken was definitely some of the best memories I've ever had.
So – You mentioned some of your goals coming into this season, some personal goals and team goals. I want to talk a little bit more about the team goals. Was there a time at the beginning of the year or maybe in the off season where, you know, it's your senior year, you got the guys together, say, hey, guys, we can have a special season this year. Let's have this goal. Or was it just like, hey, we're just going to go out and play ball?
Yeah, I think it was honestly a combination of both, just because from the day we showed up to campus as freshmen, we knew we were going to have a special senior class. I mean, we were so deep with talent that freshman year, it was only a matter of time before we put it together. So I think what contributes most is that it's a super simple approach, is we just go out and play baseball and have fun, but at the same time, we carry that kind of demeanor that we are a special group. So I think it was just a matter of time before it clicked.
How has that been for you? Obviously, you're a dominant pitcher, talking with Joey Volchko. But, you know, the difference, Joey, between being confident and being cocky on the mound or even at the plate, like where do you think, you know, you are at with that mentality? You know, obviously, you want to go out there. You want to be the best. You want to compete. But, you know, where do you toe the line between that?
Yeah, I think confidence is absolutely necessary when you're pitching. You just have to have confidence with everything you throw, and you can't try to be too fine or too perfect. You got to just put together the best pitch you can. So, I mean, I think confidence is very necessary, but cockiness for me is not. It's not something that merges well with my game. I feel like I pitch better when I'm just confident, not saying anything. So I think cockiness just takes away from what I'm trying to do, and I don't take part in some of the stuff that goes on. But
was that easy for you to try to wrap your head around as far as towing that line? I mean, are you super competitive, but you're able to not really show a lot of emotions?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm super competitive. Like, I want to win in everything I do, but I feel like there's a sense of respect in it, and I don't think that disrespect is necessary to go out and dominate.
Is that part of your personality, or is that something that coaches or family members had to instill with you?
That's just part of it. That's just kind of the way I was raised. Respect is a big thing in my family, especially with the jobs that they have. So, I mean, I just grew up valuing respect, and yeah.
Well, what type of jobs are your family involved with that commands that type of respect?
Yeah, I mean, my dad works a demanding schedule. He works on power lines for Edison. And then my mom's an administrator at the hospital here. So they both work long hours, and it's a respectable profession.
Yeah, it sounds like you're being raised the right way, and that's going to go a long way with your career. I want to talk about the team a little bit more here, Joey. You guys, you know, you had that game against Bullard in the championship game of the Easter Classic. You guys had a lead. You ended up losing 5-3. And you guys haven't lost since. I mean, you guys have been on quite a streak. You mentioned that you're undefeated in the league. Were there any conversations after that game that kind of turned the season around? Did you guys learn anything after that game? Anything that you're taking with you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we had the number one ranked team in the Valley for 5 innings. So I feel like that gave us a sense of confidence that, I mean, we could draw a top seed in D1, and we can all the success and accolades would come if we just came together and put together some wins. So, I mean, from then on, it was just head down, winning these games any way we can. Some games we scrap them out, long day on like a Monday, and then some days we come out firing on all cylinders. So just finding a way to win for sure.
You guys have definitely done that. Joey, I want to ask you about pitching. You've been clocked as high as 95 miles an hour. I've seen pictures, Joey, of all the scouts that have been to your games, drawing a lot of attention. How are you able to focus on the task at hand when there's a lot of noise? How are you able to block out that noise and just focus on the task at hand?
Yeah, as the season's continued, I think that it gets easier and easier to just focus on the game. And at the end of the day, you got to have fun with it. I mean, whatever pressure you're feeling in the stands, it's not going to be immediate. I feel like what's most important is winning the game. And if you pitch good, whatever happens, happens. You can't really control it. Because at the end of the day, it's just got to have fun with it.
So what's your favorite pitch to throw? You just love that heater. You got a wipeout slider. What's your favorite pitch?
Slider's it for me. I mean, it doubles as a put-away pitch. I can throw it in the zone when I want to. It's been my go-to secondary for my entire high school career.
Are you – so let's talk about your mechanics a bit. You're 6'4". How much do you weigh right now? Do you know?
Yeah, 205, 210.
Yeah, so you're well put together. Are you straight over the top? Are you three-quarters? What are your mechanics right now?
Yeah, I'm pretty over the top. I've kind of always been that way. I mean, I don't really feel comfortable as I get closer to three quarters. So, I mean, I've kind of stuck with the over-the-top spot since, I mean, I was 7, 8 years old.
So you have the wipeout slider. You got the fastball. Are you messing with the changeup or anything? You know, like a circle change?
Yeah, the changeup's coming, and curveball as well. I spin the slider and the curveball pretty well, but the slider's the favorite for sure.
And it's tough. You don't want to get beat on your third or fourth pitches. So it's like, oh, do I throw a changeup in this situation? So I want to go back a little bit to growing up. Do you remember let me ask you this, Joey. What's your first memory of baseball?
First memory of baseball, the one that I remember the most is just playing 8-year-old All-Stars and being at, like, the Visalia Cowherkin Fields playing against other teams in the area like Hanford and Tulare. I mean, those are games I'll never forget just because of all the guys I knew. And growing up now, seeing the success they had is awesome.
Did you grow up in a baseball-loving family?
It was weird. I don't know how I got here. My dad played Division II basketball in Pennsylvania. And my mom, I mean, she played high school basketball. So I don't know how I ended up here, but it's been a great journey for sure.
Well, I mean, I do know that you got some basketball skills as well. And you had to give that game up, right? Did you play your first 2 years at Redwood or first three?
Sophomore year was canceled because of COVID, but I played freshman and junior year of varsity. So. Yeah.
So this year you decided to strictly stick with baseball?
Yeah, this season I wanted to give everything I had into this last season of baseball.
How hard was that for you to say, oh, man, coach, that conversation with your basketball coach? Or how difficult was it to not play basketball this season?
It was tough just because, I mean, everybody in my family plays basketball. I mean, my brother still plays. So I still play pickup on weeknight sometimes if I can, if I have time. I still love basketball, but this last season, just because that's where my future will be, I wanted to give everything I had into baseball.
Talking with Joey Volchko of Redwood High. All right, so describe your basketball game. What are you, just a your jump shooter? Can you still dunk, or what kind of skill set you got on the hardwood?
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely still dunk. I got a pretty good package for sure, but last season it was mostly I'm just shooting, perimeter shooting. I mean, with the scholarship and the stuff that I worked so hard for, it didn't make sense to me to try to play overly aggressive and hurt myself and ruin what I worked so hard for.
Well, be careful on those pickup games too. Come on, like don't get hurt in those pickup games. I want to ask you too, Joey, about Stanford. You mentioned that you wanted to fully commit to you know, to honoring your scholarship to Stanford, but what sold you on the school and the program?
I mean, I think it just the school. I mean, I feel like it speaks for itself. To have a world-renowned education like Stanford, education is a big thing in my family. My mom has 2 postgraduate degrees. We're all students over here, so I mean, I feel like with that level of education and then the success their baseball program's had, I feel like it was an easy choice for me. 2 trips in the past 3 years to the College World Series, and then the high-level education, I mean, that was an easy decision for sure.
Yeah, sounds like a no-brainer. So I believe you committed, was it before your sophomore year, after your sophomore year?
Yes, right at the beginning of sophomore year, October 28th.
And, you know, one of our Central Valley's own, Brock Jones, had an incredible career there. That was fun to watch him play in the College World Series and tear it up there, who's Buchanan grad in the Tampa Bay Rays organization. Joey, I want to ask you, too, was there a moment when you know, growing up, you mentioned playing Cal Ripken and your first memories of baseball, but was there a moment when you started to throw or hit the ball a little bit harder than the kid your age? Do you remember, like, man, this game, I can be pretty good at it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was definitely some growing pains for sure in middle school. I mean, 7th grade, I came in 5'9", and then I ended the year at 6'3". So there was a big growth spurt there, and I mean, I think at that point I was a lot taller, so at that point I kind of realized that I had the frame to be something special in a couple of years if I could figure out my body in time.
Do you remember your first high school home run? Who was it against?
Yes. I believe it was, I want to say Sunnyside last year. Yeah, that was definitely the first one.
Was it home or away or at a tournament?
Oh, it was at Redwood, and I think it was a non-league, just preseason game. Yeah.
One of those where you hit it, you know, you hit it so well, you're like, oh, I think that's going to go? Or did you know right away? Or was it like a blur?
I mean, I beat the ball to the spot, and it's hard to explain my approach on hitting because I just kind of see the ball and hit the ball. I mean, I'm a pitcher. I don't overcomplicate things for sure.
Do you remember the first time you were clocked at 90 miles an hour? Was there somebody, you know, had a gun on you, like, oh, man, Joey, you just threw that pitch 90 miles an hour. Do you remember that first time?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'll never forget it. I was trying out for the scout league that they have around here, Fresno area, in Sacramento, I believe. And I mean, the best bullpen I've ever thrown. I mean, the pressure was on. I felt like that league was a really good opportunity. So to be able to hit that, I remember it was a good drive home from Sacramento.
I bet. I want to ask you a would you rather question. So I just had a couple Clovis North track and field female throwers, and I asked them some silly questions, right, for would you rather. But I'm going to ask you more of a baseball, kind of a serious question. All right, Joey, would you rather pitch a no-hitter with 16 strikeouts and a win or hit a walk-off game-winning 2-RBI double?
That's tough. I mean, I know how demanding it is to throw a 16 strikeout no hitter. I feel like that to me would be more impressive, but I could be very biased just because I'm a pitcher. I don't know. I think I'd have to go with the no hitter just because I know how hard it is to do. Even if your stuff's on, I feel like you can get lucky and somebody can put a bat on a ball.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And, you know, just take a bloop hit and you can lose your no-hitter. But I've noticed too, Joey, it seems like your coach has done a really good job of limiting your innings and taking care of you this year. You know, you'll pitch 4 innings here and 5 innings here. Is that something that you guys talked about at the beginning of the year and then maybe in playoffs let you stretch out a little bit more? But you know, just kind of saving your body and just, you know, giving you time to rest and recuperate?
Yeah, I mean, he's been awesome with that. I mean, he kind of does it on his own. I mean, he knows that I'm super competitive and I want to throw as much as I can, but he helps me kind of limit. Like, I'll still run the pitch kind of up to 80, 90, and then a couple weeks ago I had 100. But for the most part, it's been pretty low-key, I guess. I mean, my arm feels great. I mean, I don't want to jinx myself, but I've never been hurt before, so I didn't see a reason to regulate that. But, I mean, I appreciate him being so conservative with my pitch count and whatnot.
Talking with Joey Volchko, senior pitcher at Redwood High, and we talk a lot here in the Central Valley on 1430 ESPN and on Twitter about playoffs and what that looks like and making predictions. And, you know, it looks like you guys might be a 4, 5, or 6 seed when the rankings come out, the seedings come out next Saturday. Do you, as a player, you know, how much attention do you pay attention to? You mentioned, you know, playing against Bullard. You're like, hey, we can compete against the best of the best. Is that something that you as a player look at, or you're like, hey, whatever the paper says who we're going to play, we're just going to take those guys on?
Yeah, it's whatever the schedule says. I mean, I feel like with our team, our pitching staff, the bats are putting it together, the defense is coming along, I feel like we have the pieces that it takes to make a run. And honestly, all that matters is that we show up and play. I mean, if we're on our game, I don't feel like there's anybody that can beat us, but it's when we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot where we run into some issues.
Yeah, and that's part of high school baseball for sure. So what are you most looking forward to in the playoffs? You mentioned, hey, we're going to play whoever we have to play, but, you know, it's your senior year. I mean, are you just absolutely amped for the playoffs and for a final run with your guys?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've been to the playoffs twice before, and both were against really good programs. And, yeah, I mean, I want to make a run more than anything. I mean, this is probably my favorite team I've ever been on by far. I mean, the group we have is awesome. So, I mean, to make a deep run here would mean a lot to me.
Absolutely. Joey, got a couple more questions here. I want to ask you who you're what player do you think you most emulate? Like, is there a major league pitcher out there or maybe even a hitter you're like, man, I want to be like that guy or a guy that you look up to?
Yeah, I mean, there's guys with outlier height, and like, I feel like my arsenal is just so unique just because of the spin I can get on some of the pitches that I throw. But I feel like a lot of my mechanics mimic Tyler Glasnow, the Rays. He's obviously a couple inches taller than me, but we have the same kind of slot and the same kind of mix. So, I mean, I feel like I compare the most to him.
That's a good comp, man. And when that guy is on, I mean, he's pumping 99 with that wipeout slider. So I could definitely see the comparisons with him. So, Joey, I very much appreciate you coming on the show and letting people out there know a little bit about you. And, you know, from everybody that I've talked to about you, you're a stand-up young man. You talked about respecting your family, and it shines through. And good luck to the rest of the way. You know, Stanford, Major League Baseball draft. Just enjoy the moment, enjoy the journey, and good things are going to come to you.
Definitely. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. That was Joey Voltschkol, senior pitcher at Redwood High. Hitter two, hit a home run on Thursday. Keep an eye on that guy. Redwood is going to be really, really tough in the playoffs. And, in fact, I've gone on record. I say, hey, I think Redwood has the best chance of anybody because of their starting pitching to win a Central Section Division I title. So, thanks, Joey. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right. You bet. All right. Coming up after the break, we got another Central Valley superstar. Caden Munster is here at First String Sports. You know what he's done. Home run in 5 consecutive games. Had quite a stretch. We're going to be hearing from him after the break here on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to the bottom of hour number 2. Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Mitters, here at First String Sports. First String Sports, definitely the place to be here on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. If you tuned in at this time, this is usually the bottom of hour number 1, but we started at 9 o'clock. At the end of the show, Jose Gonzalez is going to be bringing you the Central Valley Christian at Fowler baseball game. So lots of good stuff happening here on 1430 ESPN. Just had a great conversation with Redwood stud Joey Voltschkol. I mean, what a well-spoken, well-mannered, I mean, just a dude, right? And he was so humbled in the conversation. And, you know, when you talk to high school kids, you got to toe the line between, you know, bringing out their personalities and, you know, you want to say their accolades, right? You don't want them to really talk about, you know, a lot of, the, you know, you don't want them to get a big ego, so to speak. And he definitely doesn't have a big ego. But let me just tell you guys from my perspective, from what I hear, he's a man child. He is a man among boys in high school baseball right now. And, you know, he's projected to be a top three MLB, you know, top three rounds. I mean, the guy is a dude, 10 to 15 scouts at every game. So anyway, the Central Valley baseball, you know, factory is strong. And I have another one here to my left, Caden Munster, Clovis West, signed with Fresno State. He's wearing his Fresno State polo right now. That's awesome. He had a streak. I don't know if you guys have heard about this. Incredible streak. 5 games in a row where he hit a home run, 6 total. Fortunately, last night against Clovis High, wasn't able to tie a state record that was held by a guy named Chase Utley. Decent little baseball player right there. But, Caden, so first of all, what's up, man? Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so nicknames, right? What are they called? They're calling you Munchie?
Munchie, yeah.
All right, how did that start? Tell me the history of that nickname.
So, last name Munster. I was 6 years old on a travel ball team, and a coach mistaken my last name for Munchie. And after that, it kind of just stuck and is stuck ever since. And, I mean, even my mom calls me that all the time. I mean, it's from everyone, so I love it.
And baseball is known for their nicknames, right? Like, I mean, if you don't have a nickname, it's like a badge of honor, right? It's like, all right, yeah, give me a nickname, man. Now I know I'm cool with the guys. But, yeah, Munchie, that's, you know, you hear that from the crowd. You go to the baseball game, let's go Munchie. So, yeah, that's going to stick with you. It might even be in the program at Fresno State in the, you know, the baseball program.
Hopefully, yeah.
Munchie. What's your walk-up song? All right, walk-up songs are a big deal. So what went into your thought process of your walk-up song? What is it?
So right now it's Fat Bottom Girls by Queen. And I wanted just to switch the mojo up. I mean, I'm usually a, like, early, late 90s R&B type of guy and kind of started off the year kind of rocky. So I was like, you know what, let's switch it up. And went to the Fat Bottom Girls song, and I've been hitting ever since.
So we could contribute that song, right, yep, to your recent power surge, right?
Yes.
So you had some R&B, kind of some slow stuff at the beginning of the year, and then you say, yeah, let's speed it up a little bit.
Yeah, something groovy, just trying to calm myself down in the box.
All right, so you mentioned that a chance to tie the state record in consecutive games with the home run. So, like yesterday, how did your at-bats go? So you're playing Clovis High, right? Last game of the track season. How did your at-bats go?
So first AB was a good one. I got into, it was 1-0. I got a fastball, just missed it. It was a little high. Probably should have taken it. And then got another one, got right underneath it. And then I fought it through. I think I had a 6-7-8 pitch AB. And I think the worst thing in baseball is a foul tip, strike 3. Catcher gets you. So that's what happened first AB. And then second AB, I think I had a 9-pitch AB. Fight with John Caston, one of my buddies. And he thought he got me on it. Ball was in, and he definitely let me know after the game.
So you took your walk.
Took my walk there and then had a 5-pitch walk the next AB.
And that was it? You only got 3 at-bats?
Yeah.
Because you guys lost 9-0. And Coach even put you lead off so you can get that other AB.
Exactly, you only got the three. Yeah, I only got 3 last night.
But did you feel any extra pressure going into that game? Like a little anxiety the night before? Like, oh, man, this is quite a streak. Was there any extra pressure on you?
I wouldn't say pressure. I would mean it's definitely in the back of your mind just saying, like, wow, the household name of Chase Utley. And being able to be in company with that would be fantastic to be with. But really wasn't any more pressure on me. It was more of just like, let's do it for the Valley. I mean, I wanted to do it, and unfortunately couldn't get it done last night.
Talking with Caden Munster, Clovis West baseball player, Fresno State, headed to Fresno State. So you had 6 home runs in that stretch, in that 5-game stretch. Which is the one that you're going to remember the most?
Probably my one at Clovis High on Tuesday, because that was probably one of the biggest bombs I had all year. It went right dead center at Clovis High. So Clovis High is a big field to hit at, too. So it was quite an accomplishment for me.
No, yeah. Anytime there's a home run hit at Clovis High, it's like, yeah, you definitely earned that. And I was able to only see personally the one home run on Wednesday to center field. That was your last at-bat. And, you know, something that I think about with home runs and the home runs that you remember watching, and you know the way people describe sometimes when a guy hits a home run that's memorable is like he made the ballpark look small, mm-hmm. meaning it's a huge baseball player. You know, it's a big dude like you. What are you, 6'4", 250 right now?
240, yeah.
240. All right, I give you 10 extra pounds. But you know, making the ballpark look small, and you've done that. You mm-hmm. know, that home run to center was like, and it was in your last at bat. Mm-hmm. It was like, man, that was an absolute bomb. When you're in a groove like that, Caden, you know, when everything, you know, seems like a beach ball, what is that feeling like?
It's the best. I mean, this game of baseball definitely has a way of going around. I mean, you got the times when it looks like a sunflower seed, and then sometimes right now it looks like a beach ball. So definitely got to take in these moments when you can really see the ball well, and I've been just putting barrels on baseballs and letting it work.
And you mentioned too, at the beginning of the year, you had to change your walk-up song, right? Because you had some struggles, and you mentioned, hey, looks like a sunflower seed out there. When you're going through that, I mean, was that tough for you? Like, hey, man, this is supposed to be my senior year. I'm supposed to be raking this year, right? Was that a tough thing to get through?
I wouldn't say tough. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's like, man, it's my last year here. I want to leave a mark. And for the start of the year, I really didn't. I mean, I was having some bad ABs, having to make a lot of adjustments at the plate. And then finally, I found something that works for me. I was a little bit more off the plate start off the year. And then I really got on it at the end of it. And it's been working so far.
Yeah, I noticed that you're crowding the plate a little bit more. I mean, is that so you can reach some of those outside pitches, or what's the thought process of that?
Mostly, I mean, a lot of the pitches I see are a lot outside. And also, it lets me just be able to see everything, I feel like, because if they throw me in, that's going to be their mistake pitch, and that's going to be something I can get to. But they're most likely going to attack me outside, so that's one ball that I can just drive into a left center field gap.
And you're left-handed. And what I like about you, no batting gloves, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're no batting gloves guy?
Yeah.
What's the reason for that?
I was a batting glove guy when I was younger, but since I've grown, I just don't like the feeling of batting gloves. I mean, I like just the dirt, the pine tar, and the tape, you know? Just sometimes. Also, the main reason is because I kept breaking my gloves in like a span of like 2 weeks, and trying to pay for gloves for that much was just getting outrageous.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I like the natural feeling. I'm not a batting glove guy either. When did you first start to hit left-handed? Obviously, you know you're first baseman, third baseman. You throw right-handed, but when did you start hitting left-handed?
Day one. My grandpa gave me a wiffle ball bat when I was 3 years old, and he kind of just put it right in front of me and said, "Grab it," and grabbed it left-handed and worked like that ever since.
What does your right-handed swing look like? Is it ugly?
Honestly, it's not that bad.
All right.
I mean, I'd probably strike out a ton, but I'd probably put a couple balls in play.
you have a big personality. You're well liked by everybody out there. You have a ton of friends. We're going to get to some of those guys in a second around the baseball community. When you're out there on the field, you know, obviously when you play first base, you know, you get a guy at first base. Are you chatting them up? You know what I mean?
Are you talking
to dudes?
Always.
What are some of the types of conversations you have with guys?
What they have for breakfast. I mean, anything really. I mean, just how they're doing that day, what's going on in their life. I mean, it's honestly the best time at first base. You kind of just get to know the guy, and then it's fun when they get back on because we just continue the conversation that we were having. So, yeah.
Have there been some dudes that you don't know that have, like, said some crazy things to you? Like, maybe at a tournament, you're like, "I don't know you. Why are you talking like that?"
Yes and no. But definitely one of the funniest things was I was playing first base once, and a guy got picked off. And being a big guy myself, I guess I'm a little scary to people, but I'm a big teddy bear at heart for sure. And I was running after him, and all I hear is a guy screaming, like, "No, no, 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 no," like just trying to run away from me. And then we got the guy out. It was pretty funny.
Did you tag him hard, though?
Oh, of course.
Why?
Always.
Yeah, always. You got to let him know you're there, though.
Exactly.
You got to let him know. So you mentioned, too, when I just got off the phone with Joey Volchko, you came on, you're like, "Hey, that's one of my guys."
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, especially with this senior class, there's some really good seniors out there that are headed to some Division I programs. I mentioned Jaden Mandel, mm-hmm. you know, who's not playing this year for Buchanan. Why? Well, because he's at Fresno State early enrollee to play football, and Cam Schneider at Bullard, some of those guys. So how cool is that you got such a community of guys that you're cool with that you're all supporting each other, even though you're from different programs?
It's honestly a blessing. I mean, it's a family inside of a family. I mean, we've all known each other since 7, 8 years old, and now we're all going to college together. So we've had the time in the playgrounds together, and now we just get to live together and live out our dreams together. So it'll be a lot of fun.
So Cam Schneider, headed to Fresno State as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the story goes is he's like, "Hey, you want to go to Fresno State? Cool. I'll commit. Cool. I'll commit. All right, let's do it." Is that how it went down, or is it a little more sophisticated than that?
Honestly, we're that simple of people, so it really was that. I mean, we had our scout ball there for one day, and we were both in the batting cages. We're like, "Dude, this feels good." And then we're like playing on the field, and we're like, "Dude, this feels amazing." And then we're like having a conversation after, because that was like right when we were getting like just jumped by colleges. Like, he was having talks with a lot of different schools, same for me. And we're like, "Why don't we just stay? I mean, we both have our families here. We both like love Fresno State. Like, we've gone to games since we were younger. So why don't we just become the hometown hero and do it ourselves?" And he committed. And then like 3 days later, I had my offer, and I was like, "Okay, it has to happen. We have to do it again." Yeah.
Easy, no-brainer. So so you've hit on that field? You've hit at?
Yes, and I love it.
So left-handed hitter, you're 6'3", 240 pounds. What are you thinking about Fresno State? I know you still have playoffs for Clovis West, but, you know, being a Bulldog, you know, what is that going to mean to you?
Everything. I mean, since growing up, I've watched the games, watched the greats come by. You got Jordan Rivera. You got, of course, Aaron Judge. I mean, you kind of just want to implement your game with them. You know, you want to become them. When you're younger, you come to the field and you're like, "He's 6'7". He's huge." Like, you just look at him, he looks like a tower. and then you become the tower and you want to be just like him. So it definitely means a lot being a Bulldog because you're from the Valley. I mean, that's what you're – I don't want to say like you're born to do if you're from the Valley, but, I mean, it's pretty much like that.
Talking with Caden Munster, Clovis West baseball, headed to Fresno State. I mean, you mentioned Jordan Rivera. Mm-hmm. So you've probably heard some comps about that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fairly similar size, both left-handed. I saw Jordan hit a couple bombs at Clovis West, and that's who you remind me of. Right? Like, talk about, you know, the history of some of those guys and just how you want to emulate them and, you know, how they inspire you.
I mean, at the beginning of the year, my coach goes, hey, Rivera has a record for 13. And I'm like, he had the orange stealth, didn't he? And he goes, yeah, he did. And I was like, dang it, I don't have, I wish I had. But it was one of those things, I was like, man, that's in such good company. I mean, I went to the same high school as him. I'm going to go to the same college as him. And, like, it's just getting to the point where, like, lines are meeting. So it's amazing just to be able to be in that same company with him.
How many home runs you got?
Seven so far.
So you got seven. So
yeah.
You got seven. I want to ask you about growing up. I ask Joey Volchko the same question. What are some of your earliest memories of baseball? You know, you mentioned Grandpa giving you that mm-hmm. wiffle ball bat and picking it up left-handed. But what are some of your other earliest really fun memories about baseball?
Probably my first home run. I mean, I've had like the couple inside the Parkers before, but I get that one inside fastball and I let it eat and I'm running around the bases, not really knowing what to do because it's my first one. I like, do I jog? Do I sprint? Like, my mom's always been hustle, hustle, hustle. And I was like, uh-oh. And so I kind of got into like a mid jog and just meeting everyone at home was awesome.
How old are you on that? You remember?
I think I was seven, eight. Around there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you go to, are you a Kasner kid? And then
yes.
What elementary school did you go to?
I went to Fort Washington my sixth grade year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also with your size, football coaches, I'm sure they've been all over you, right? You're shaking your head right now.
Yeah.
I mean, no football in your life? Are you just pure baseball or?
Pure baseball. I mean, there's definitely been talks that, oh, I want to go play football this year, Mom. Let me go play football. But biggest rule in the house is what Mama says goes. So never been able to play football. Definitely been something I wanted to do, but don't go against Mama. We can't do that.
So, well, what happened? You know, Coach Brown and some of the other coaches the last couple of years at Clovis West, when they'd see you on campus, they're just like, Munchie, and you just like shake your head. Was that basically the only conversations you would have?
Well, the funniest part is that I was in this program last year, and it's for sports med. So I was actually the athletic trainer for the football team. So you would see me on the sidelines with the water bottles and all dressed up, and then there's me, and then there's the running back, and it's just the size difference was really funny to see.
I bet you know people from across the way, right?
Yeah.
The opposing teams looking over there. Why is that kid not playing?
Exactly.
I'm sure,
yeah.
I'm sure. What's some of the funniest things that have happened at practice or games, or some of the crazy moments this season with some of your teammates?
Oh man. There's so many memories. I mean, we got a lot of jokesters on the team. I mean, when you have POs on the team, there's always something great happening. I mean, there's always a ton of laughs. I mean, one of my guys at Clovis West, Jonah Fragus, is one of the funniest guys I'll ever meet in my life. I mean, the things that he says you just never think about, and he says it out loud, and you're just rolling laughing. I don't know if I can make any examples on the air right now, but he's hilarious.
Well, what's your type of humor? Are you a big prank guy? You like pranks? You like silly humor? What do you like?
I like any type of humor. I mean, I laugh at pretty much everything. I'm not going to lie. I mean, if something's funny, I'm laughing at it. I don't even – like, it's just a great time.
Talking with Caden Munster, Clovis West. All right, couple more questions here, Caden. I prepped you with this one, so you had a little bit of time to think about. All right, this is a big-time question. Are you ready for this?
This is a really big question.
This is a big one. All right, Marvel movies or Star Wars? If you had to choose one.
See, I'm split, but I got to put a little bit of edge to Marvel. I mean, I watch those movies all the time and kind of religiously. It's kind of bad sometimes. I mean, my parents make fun of me all the time because I could be watching Netflix, whatever, but I'm watching Disney Plus. I'm going right to the Marvel section and I'm watching all the movies. I mean, Iron Man, Spider-Man, I'm going all through all of them.
So Avengers, right?
Avengers,
big Avengers
always.
Guy.
Oh yeah.
Do you have a favorite? You have a favorite character slash movie?
Favorite movie? That's hard. I'm actually a big Black Panther fan. Okay. I like the Black Panther movies. That's really good. My favorite superhero though is definitely Spider-Man.
All right.
I love Spider-Man.
Into the Multiverse is legit.
I can't wait to watch that.
That new one's coming out. I mean, that's just a trip, the new animated ones. All right, a couple more questions here, Munchie. Who are your favorite Major League Baseball players? You mentioned a couple, but who's your favorite team, first of all, and then who are some dudes you like watching?
Giants fan, for sure, from birth, will never change. I mean, a little sad sometimes when Grandpa is a Dodgers fan and we get into our fights when we were younger, but it is what it is. But for sure, favorite MLB player, if you know me, it's Bryce Harper. I mean, I love that man to death. I mean, I emulate my game by him. I love his energy, the way he just plays the game with such passion and just everything that he does. I mean, I wanted to tell my mom that I started wearing a headband because I started growing my hair out. Is for Bryce Harper. Yeah, Bryce Harper started doing it. I had to start doing it.
Oh, and you got the beard. You got the beard going right now.
Yep.
Do you think you could sneak – you got a headband, or are you sneaking that into games?
Oh, I'm always headband all the time.
Just for show, or does it serve a purpose?
Oh, for a purpose, too. I sweat like no other. Yeah, it's really bad sometimes, especially in the Fresno heat. It's bad.
All right, so Black Panther movies. You love Spider-Man. You're crowding the plate right now. You're hitting bombs. You're doing everything. Headed to Fresno State. You love Bryce Harper. Caden, if you could have a perfect ending to your baseball career at Clovis West, how would you wrap everything with a nice bow at the top?
So one thing for sure is we get a chance to play board. I mean, those are my boys from day one, and definitely want to beat them. I not calling them out by any means, but I just love the competition when we play board, and of course finding a way to win a ring this year. I mean, I've had 3 years and haven't got it done, and my sister, she went to Clovis West, played basketball. If you know anything about Clovis West girls basketball,
I know a little
they
bit.
Win rings every year. So all the time she's like just pointing at her finger all the time. So I definitely want some get back and talk about that.
Well, you're hitting the ball with authority right now, Caden. You're having a monster season, especially the second half. You're headed to Fresno State. So I've enjoyed watching you for the last 4 years. You were on varsity as a freshman. And, you know, I started hearing about you, you know, when you're at Kasner. Hey, they got a big left-handed hitter. He's coming up. You're going to check this guy out. So I've enjoyed watching you for the last 4 years. I know the best is yet to come. Really appreciate you coming on, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
A lot of fun. That was Caden Munster, Clovis West. We'll come back after the break when we wrap everything up here on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Thank you guys for listening. Central Valley Sports Report. I've been your host, Paul Metters, for the last 2 hours. Student athlete heavy episode. You know, just talking with these kids, and you know, on one hand they are kids, right? But a lot of them are going to be adults and taking that next step, headed to college. Great conversation with Caden Munster. I mean, like I said, I've been watching the kid for the last 4 years, and you know, those are the types of kids that you get behind, that you root for. Valley born, Valley bred. You know, done it the right way, didn't transfer, didn't do anything like that, stay with his guys. You know, he mentioned, you know, he played with guys from Buchanan, played with guys from Bullard. And, man, I'm not stupid. I know how things work. And so for him to stick with Clovis West all these years and headed to Fresno State and, you know, be one game away, one home run away from a state record tying Chase Utley is pretty darn awesome. And those are the kids that we definitely like to highlight. I want to thank First String Sports. I want to thank Jorge Rodriguez, Gabe Camarillo, who is at home base. You could listen to his show Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5. Make sure you guys check that out. Follow him on Twitter as well. Thanks to Craig Campbell, Peyton Bitter, Loey Madsen from Clovis North, Joey Voltsko of Redwood, and again, Caden Munster of Clovis West. Stay tuned right now as Jose Gonzalez brings you Central Valley Christian at Fowler Baseball here on 1430 ESPN. Everybody, have a great week, and we will talk to you soon.
You're listening to the home of the San Francisco Giants, KFIG Fresno, 1430 ESPN.
Horses still in the field for today's race. Five have now been scrapped.